there are changes made to these parts of the brain, and most of them are unconscious parts of the brain. No one has any control over it. All the parts of the brain that have changes, taken as a whole, like they contribute to the behavior of this person with addiction.
Well, hey there, I'm Eric Deatherage.
And I'm Danielle Webster. Welcome back once again to Prairie Beat,
our weekly news podcast from us here at Prairie Public. So, Danielle, what is on the beat this week?
Well, the North Dakota legislature gavels in today. We've been talking about this for a bit here. Governor Kelly Armstrong called this special session to address an unregulated substance sold as a supplement called kratom. And this is really something that seemed to kind of burst onto the scene from, you know, out of seemingly nowhere, but it really has been under our noses for a while. And a lot of people, I think, especially young people, do have a better understanding of what kratom is. I was able to speak to someone about kratom and what a potential ban on the substance might mean for the region.
Yeah, kratom, you know, I do confess, maybe this is my age bracket, but it's something that I didn't really know much about until I heard the governor said he wanted to get rid of it. And I still feel like I have a lot more questions than answers about it myself. So let's get into it.
All righty.
Robert Cole Perringer, MD. I'm an addiction medicine specialist and toxicologist.
Dr. Perringer is with Essentia Health, and they have a substance use and addiction care program there where he is medical director. And when we talked, he explained that kratom essentially is a leaf. It's from Southeast Asia. It's been used for hundreds of years, and it has properties that are effective to treat things like pain and anxiety. But he says it also has hundreds of other properties, including a compound called mitragynine. This amounts to an opioid, and that when concentrated, it can cause heavy substance use disorder and difficult withdrawal. So that concentrated compound has been bottled and sold as a supplement in gas stations all over the place. A lot of people know it by its name, 7-OH.
When something is sold as a supplement in the United States, there is no regulation. No one is overseeing whether the dose they're giving is correct, whether what they're actually giving is correct. Selling something as a supplement, there comes with no regulation.
Now, part of the topic I do remember because I'm not entirely opposed to supplements. I mean, you know, vitamins and all. I give my kiddos little Flintstone iron ones every single day. But the supplement industry, it's kind of a thing for me, you know, as far as they don't have anybody really regulating them, overseeing them. They can make any claims they want without any sort of repercussions and advertise. They can promise and guarantee anything. I mean, it really is kind of a wild, wild west out there when it comes to supplements.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, if we look back a little bit, we both remember the opioid crisis, right? Mm-hmm. People developed dependency on these opioids that were pushed to them by doctors in the early 2000s. Regulation reined those in. People searched for cheaper alternatives on the street. They found heroin. That eventually led them to fentanyl a few years ago. I think it's probably like 10, 15 years that's mm-hmm. become a big thing. It's extremely potent and deadly. Dr. Perringer says once someone is introduced to fentanyl, it's kind of like a 50-50% chance that they're dead within a year or two.
Wow.
That's how dangerous it is, and that's how simple it can be to overdose. Now, kratom and the 7-OH that we've been talking about, it does contain that opioid-like property in it. People who use it are highly susceptible to developing a use disorder with it, and the withdrawal symptoms are really terrible. Perringer described it as life-ruining, actually. But he says people don't really overdose on it. And while he says the dependency on 7-OH definitely creates a lot of problems for people, he thinks the blanket banning of all kratom could lead to overdose deaths when people start searching for alternatives on the street.
I think there needs to, especially with 7-hydroxy and the potent derivatives or breakdown products, there needs to be regulation. The concern is that if you just create regulation or take away something, what ends up happening is people turn to something else. And the concern is that they'll turn to the street opioids, and anything you get off the street is fentanyl. And we know that if any drug seizure happens, a drug bust, you take an area about a mile around that radius, and there's an increase in overdoses all around that radius because they turn to a different supplier.
Okay, that's interesting because I remember Governor Armstrong saying that upwards of a couple dozen people in North Dakota had died, and those deaths were related to kratom. Now, it sounds like the 7-OH dependencies could be contributing to deadly behaviors with street drugs like fentanyl. That said, I think I agree with Dr. Perringer about a blanket ban. Like, I don't want what amounts to opioid supplement drinks for sale at every convenience store in the state for anyone to purchase, but it does sound like there's a lot of nuance here with the original uses, the different properties and compounds when it comes to drugs and synthetic drugs. It's really fascinating how things are discovered and either outlawed or regulated, and then how the drug suppliers are able to figure out a response to that. It's like a game of whack-a-mole, mm-hmm. right? Like, who would ever think that a leaf that treats a little anxiety could lead to something more deadly with somebody buying fentanyl off the street?
It really does sound kind of dramatic, right? And very Dare video. But that's what Dr. Perringer says, you know, that these substances are able to alter the brain enough to create those dependencies and use disorders and develops into an actual disease, which can lead to different behaviors. And as long as we have to navigate these issues with different substances out there, either on the street or in the pharmacy or even gas stations, there are resources available to help people with addiction or use disorder, as Dr. Perringer refers to it, substance use disorder. He says that name change is aimed at reducing the stigma, because when people hear addiction, they might have a negative connotation. So while all that is going on, Perringer says he kind of tends to favor a more phased approach at regulating kratom.
We can give education because we do have a way to treat kratom use disorder or opioid use disorder, and it's called buprenorphine. And it works wonderfully to treat withdrawal, to treat pain, as a safe substitution therapy. Patients need to know this, and providers need to be comfortable with this. And so that's the education that I think is really important. It needs to be provided to the public and providers for when kratom regulation does happen.
Dr. Perringer says anyone struggling with any substance use disorder is welcome to contact Essentia. They have a care program that has three different phases, from inpatient and emergency care, a primary care team, and even a bridge care program. And they have a 24/7 substance use disorder hotline you can call as well that can kind of get you started. That is at 833-677-1262.
Yeah, you know what? Pause this podcast and rewind a little bit if you need to jot down that number, a very important phone number again, 833-677-1262. So, Danielle, with lawmakers back in Bismarck, do you have any pulse on what they may do with kratom legislation?
Well, it's probably a fool's errand to try to predict what the legislature will do, but we do know a couple of things. So Governor Armstrong did issue that executive order about a month ago banning kratom, and that's in effect until, you know, whatever the legislature comes up with here. From what I understand in their pre-session sessions, for lack of a better, you know, way to describe it, they did not approve anything that would amount to a total ban. So what we might see come out of this session is a more nuanced bill. And when I spoke to Dr. Perringer, he did say that Kansas instituted a total ban and that they saw immediate increases in overdoses in the aftermath of that. So this is something lawmakers are kind of learning on the fly as they go. So we'll see what North Dakota comes up with very shortly here.
Once again, the law of unintended consequences happening there in Kansas. Hopefully that doesn't happen here in North Dakota. So in this 3-day session, our lawmakers will be taking up kratom. Now, I've seen some reporting about funds for the military museum. I know Dave Thompson will be on the beat about that like he always has been. So more to come. What other headlines, Danielle, have we been covering throughout the newsroom this week?
So I think we're going to meet or exceed our revenue projections for the biennium.
Well, apparently budget forecasts were inaccurate, as apparently the state collected more oil tax revenue than originally thought.
It's just so important to remain grounded in the everyday experiences of students and teachers.
State School Superintendent Levi Bachmeyer and other public instruction employees will be joining our teachers this year in the classroom as substitute teachers for a few days each. And Eric, we also need to mention, of course, you know, the last episode of the Great American Folk Show aired over the weekend. Not exactly hard-hitting news, but it's still a pretty big deal. I know you and Tom Brousseau, you did a lot of really great work together on that show over the last several years.
Oh, thank you, Danielle. I am going to miss it. You know, it's like it's a regular routine, and you get the muscle memory of doing the show, producing it every week, and working with Tom, just such a talent. So yeah, I'll definitely miss it. But Tom will be playing music everywhere in North Dakota, I'm sure. We'll cross paths again someday. But yeah, hey, if you listen this weekend, We have a new show debuting in its place called Sports in America with David Green. So even if you don't like sports, I'm looking at you, Danielle.
Check it out.
I think you'll like Sports in America.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thanks for the nod on that, Danielle.
You bet. And, you know, hey, if you want to hear more news and more great shows, be sure to tune in to Prairie Public and check out our online newsroom at news.prairiepublic.org.
Well, that's it for this week for Prairie Beat. I'm Eric Dethridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. We'll see you on the beat next week. We'll be right back.